Morning Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, where, again, we continue to follow the soap opera that is the days of our Titans. And, again, I just call it a culture of dishonesty and backstabbing. And, you know, one day this guy's best buddies with the one guy, and then the next day he's throwing him under the bus. And then I look at the Predators. And the Predators aren't doing much better as far as the results on the ice are concerned. They lost last night, as you heard Max say in the Preds report. They lost last night. And the standings are not pretty. For what was supposed to be a really good year, the Predators have 33 points. That is almost dead stinking last in the Western Conference. They're right there. You know, Chicago's only got 28, which is abysmal. San Jose has 32, then you have 33. And, I mean, that is awful. According to MoneyPuck.com, the Predators currently sit with a 3.9% chance of making the playoffs. And I said this last week before they reeled off two wins in a row. I said, let's start thinking about the number one pick. The other night, the Predators played a game. I forget which one it was. Maybe it was Vancouver. I can't remember. They played a game on the road. St. Louis, maybe. No, it wasn't St. Louis because it was during the Winter Classic, and St. Louis in the Winter Classic. But they had a game. And I chose to watch, and I sound like a nerd here, but I chose to watch the World Juniors because they had the Mullendyke kid and the Gibson kid were playing together on a pair, and the Stiga kid was playing for the USA, and, you know, the girlfriend is Canadian, I'm American, the baby is both. You know, it's like, are we going to, you know, be pro-Canada or we going to be pro-USA, so we watch a World Juniors game. And even that, I was not impressed with Mullendyke and Gibson. And now Stiga had the game-winning goal in the championship, and the USA won the gold medal. But, again, it's not great. But the difference is, when it comes to the Predators, I don't know if it's an honesty thing or an accountability thing or whatever it may be. But I feel like, hey, I understand where the team is. Barry comes on the show. We ask the hard questions, and he answers them. And I feel like, again, the difference in the culture. I don't expect him to turn around and stab Andrew Burnett in the back. With the Titans, you never know. Barry Trotz joins us on the program now, Predators general manager. Barry, tough loss last night at Winnipeg. I saw MoneyPuck.com says you guys have a 3.9% chance of making the playoffs. I have to ask this question. Where you sit right now, are you viewing this year as, hey, there's still something there, or are we really starting to view this as a rebuilding, retooling year?
I think we're probably about I'd like to get to the end of this month. I think you look at our schedule. We've just sort of gone through, you know, a couple of top-end teams, Winnipeg twice, you know, Minnesota, and we got Vegas and Minnesota coming up as well as. And then I think we got some games. We got, you know, teams that are probably sitting around us in Chicago, San Jose, back-to-back games. Anaheim, and we've had good success against Vancouver, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh. If we get to the end of the month, I think it'll be a lot clearer. But realistically, a 4% chance is, you know, like they say, there's still a chance. So we're going to live that until there's no chance. So, but I'd like to get to the end of the month before I could really answer that question. But, you know, you look at the things that I've done already. I've you know, sort of put it in place where I don't think we've taken a step back in any of our moves. I think we've you know, did the Annan thing for Wedgwood. I think that's an upgrade for us for now and in the future. The Carrier might be a little bit, even that out a little bit. I think Carr is a more mature and probably a better prepared player than Barron right now. But I think the upside on Barron is a lot better, and I think the guys that we brought up, obviously LaRue and them for Parsonen and Tomasino, I think we've looked at our young guys, and unfortunately we've run into some injuries on first on our back end and now on our forward. So it's just been one of those years, but I would like to get to the end of the month before I truly can answer that question, but I'm preparing for both, really.
Barry, I do wonder, when it comes to the team, do you feel like you're seeing any sort of meaningful progress as the, you know, the coach and the players and the free agent signings all coming together? Again, I know it's kind of up and down, win-loss, but do you see progress on the ice?
I do. I do. You know, just look at our top guys. You'd say Brady Shea is probably playing as good as anybody on our hockey team. It shows in his ice time, it shows in the stats in terms of, when he's on the ice, he's getting all the hard matchups. Him and Blankenberg are doing a really good job. You see Stamkos in the middle and Marcia. So, I mean, if they're not scoring, there's not a lot of guys that are scoring for us. So they're doing, I want to say they finally have their boots on the ground in Nashville. This is their team. And they've been consistent contributors for us. So, I am seeing progress. Every time I see progress, we've been hit with a lot of injuries on the back end. We had, four American League defensemen playing at the same time. And now we're getting hit on the front end with guys. So every time I feel like we're taking, starting to build some momentum, we get hit with something. So, it's harder to evaluate, but at the same time, we are getting a little bit of look into the future. We're getting some experience for some of our younger guys, and it's giving us even more clarity of how close or how far we are from those players being steady contributors. So I'm trying to look at the glass half full rather than half empty in all these situations.
Barry Trotz is with us. Barry, we watched the World Juniors matchup between Canada and USA in my house because we are a split Canadian-American household. And so I was very excited when Team USA won. But when I was watching the game, I was watching it, and I was watching Teddy Stiga, and I was watching the top pair of Tanner Mullendijk and Andrew Gibson because they were Preds prospects. I know what I saw in that one game. You were at the World Juniors. What did you take away from that as far as your prospect pipeline is concerned? And what did you take away as far – well, we'll get to the draft in a second. What did you take away from what you saw out of your guys in the World Juniors?
Well, let's talk about USA-Canada. USA is a phenomenal program. It starts with their leader in John Leonard. You look at Higgins, who's going to be a top prospect in the draft this year. They just got a great program. Bjorn on the back end, Hudson, people like that. It's a 19-year-old tournament, so those are the best 19-year-olds really on the planet right now. They're going to be turning pro, most of those 19-year-olds next year, or going back to college, those type of situations, or going back to their club teams in Europe. But you got a glimpse into the future of hockey is. Obviously, Mullendijk and Gibson were the top pair for Team Canada. Mullendijk is unbelievable skater, has a lot of impact on the game. Gibson is a more physical, I'll say a little bit more stay-at-home. He doesn't have the wheels that Mullendijk does, but as a pair, they can be a top pair in the National Hockey League for a long time in the future. I feel they'll be a top four, and they're going to play important minutes. They were 1-2 in minutes played for Team Canada on the back end. And then with Stiga, he's an underage, so he's a – and I do know this from watching is that 1 year, especially when you're an 18-year-old versus a 19-year-old, there's a big growth period for the players. You see it every year. So I was really happy with that. Obviously, Teddy Stiga, you can see the motor he has, the speed he has. He didn't play at a high role this year, but next year he'll probably be playing with James Higgins because they play in the same team and the same line in Boston College. So he's going to have a big piece of that. And then obviously scoring the golden goal will obviously help his confidence, but the coaching staff raves about this, his motor, and he's the guy that drives a lot of the practices, a lot of the energy in the room. So that's just fantastic to know. Obviously Mullendijk is, he actually You know, they raved about his ability to elevate his game and play against top people and talk about his poise. So those are all great things to know. And and then we had three guys on the Swedish team. Edström was, matter of fact, today I got two calls from two different teams trying to see if we would move Edström in that he was a player we got in the Ashcroft deal. Molendijk and Edström were, at the end of each team's tournament, they named the top three players for their team, and it's voted on by hockey people and what have you. And Edström was one of the three people for Sweden, and Molendijk was one of the three players for Canada that were selected. So that's really good for us in the future if you've got two of those guys and on especially two powerhouse countries.
Sounds to me like you really like the Hagens kid. And if, again, this isn't the season that you hoped it would be, but if you ended up with the number one pick, would that be on the options list? What'd you think of him?
Yeah, no, he sees things, and I really liked James Hagens. He's a young player. He's, you know, he's still got a lot of growth in his game, but he sees things that, he sees it before they happen. And he's able to play with those top end guys. So it'll be really interesting to see him next year. But he will be a top pick. The one player for Canada, Schaefer, for Canada. He'll be in that mix. He got hurt in a preliminary game, and he's going to miss some time. So you got to see a lot of people like Marton and a few of them that will be in the draft for sure.
Can I don't mean this with any disrespect, but was the Hagens kid, is he good enough to tank for? Like, when you watch him play, are you like, oh, my God, I know it would be terrible to lose every game the rest of the season, but if I get the Hagens kid and I can put him on a line in the future with Stieger, or I can put him on a line right away in the NHL, you know, with Forsberg and Marchessault, I might do it. Like, is he that good or no?
Well, I think he's a good player. He's not McDavid like, or Crosby like, but he's going to be a really good player. And you're asking the wrong guy about tanking. You know that. You know me pretty well. So that's not happening. So,
true.
But he's a good player, and he's going to be able to play with top end guys. And the funny thing is it's going to be exciting to see the players. Like, I just talk about Teddy Stiga being an 18-year-old. And then seeing some of those players are 18-year-olds last year. Now you see them as a 19-year-old. That's a really big year for players, and it really comes to focus. I think more and more that you see it year in and year out. So there's a couple of players, but the one thing I do know there, some players will show really well in the World Championships, and then they take off from that experience. Like, that goal that Teddy Stiga scored, that may just propel him to a different level. It may do that for Hagens. It may do it for Barton and some of these names that you'll hear in the draft. And there's some great names that were left off. I know in Canada, guys like Misa, his name came up, the Anaheim pick in Senecki and that. So, you know, they're deep teams. The one thing that tournament does showcase the best players, but also showcases how countries are. At one time, Canada was the team that dominated the tournament. Now it looks like the U.S. is the next up on the podium type of thing. And, the Swedes and the Finns are always strong. But the Czech Republic each year is getting a medal. So the rest of the world is catching up to some of the powerhouses, and that just, the competition, the pool of players gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Barry Trotz, as always, on our program. Barry, thank you for moving to today, as always, and we'll see you soon.
All right, anytime.
Yep, Barry Trotz joining us on the program. Okay, back to the Titans and the dysfunction. Joe Rexroad, Jared versus Joe, and we have a new sponsor. It's next. Stillman & Company, 125 The Game. Stillman & Company, we push Jared versus Joe back just a little bit because of Barry Trotz. We are joined by the newly engaged Caroline Fenton, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Congratulations, Caroline.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I've still yet to come off of cloud nine. A big smile on my face right now, but thank you very much. I'm very excited.
And I got to tell you, a big-ass rock on your left hand, because goodness gracious, I saw the picture, and I was like, goodness gracious. So congratulations.
You did a very good job.
In that regard, Joe Rexroad is with us, and we have a new sponsor. Jared versus Joe is presented, as we all know, by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. And First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Joseph, are you ready to debate?
I'm ready. And very excited for Caroline.
Big discussions.
What's the deal with this quad?
Bigger arguments.
I was right. I had my finger on the pulse of this team.
It's so dumb.
It's time.
Oh, it was the cap. Cap, cap, cap.
For Jared versus Joe.
For you, this is actually kind of well-reasoned.
Brought to you by First Horizon Bank. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle.
We make the rules around here now.
Now on Stillman & Company.
Let's get it on!
Okay, well, that's a new open. Caroline, where are we
How
starting?
How about that intro? That's I like that. That was a nice little surprise.
Like a
new
closer,
year, no
it's
open.
Like turning off the lights and putting on the, you know, the Jumbotron. Caroline, where are we starting?
Well, I mean, nothing's really happened. Been kind of a quiet few days here in Nashville. Just kidding. Jared, let's start with you. First question. Should the Titans have just cleaned house instead of only parting ways with Rand Carthon?
Yes. Yes. And again, I said I'd settle out of court if Brian Callahan stayed and the other two bozos left. I'd be okay. But instead, the Titans got rid of Rand Carthon and then promoted his top lieutenant, or I guess who was already ahead of him in the pecking order, who knows, with the Furkacta Titans. And now we're told that the Titans have a new plan with a new guy who told us all last year that everything was going in the humming in the right direction. And now he stabbed everybody in the back and he's firing everybody and he's done a 180 and he wants to fire the coach. And it's an unmitigated disaster. And it's, again, at least we know the identity of the Titans, dysfunction and dishonesty, because that's what they are. And that's how you become the biggest laughingstock in the league and the worst team every year is with this crap. So, yeah, they should have. I thought their saving grace would have been to bring in somebody who knew ball to come in here. But instead, they're focused on people that, I guess, no corporate backstabbing and buzzwords. And this is the hand as Titan fans that were dealt.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much we disagree today, but absolutely. Like we did before, you know, this was announced, Robbie and I did like the four, you know, possible courses of action, you know, which is like full clean with the coach, stay, or you know, what they did. And this came in fourth. This or number one as the dumbest. The dumbest possibility was this one, and that's what Amy chose. It just makes no sense at all. And this idea, I mean, all of it is, you know, and just the last day that now Brinker goes on his little media car wash, and it's really nauseating. Honestly, the whole thing really is. Again, I'm not. I know, you know, Jared has declared me the one who, quote, wanted them back. I would have kept them another year, but I understand, like, it's certainly defensible to fire everybody. Doing this is just, it to me, shows complete lack of understanding the situation, and it must demonstrate some serious maneuvering behind the scenes by Brinker. I mean, now he's out here talking about, you know, draft develop, and this is going to take time now, you know, it's, look at that Packers model, and it's just amazing that it's gotten to this. So, yes, they absolutely should have cleaned house instead of this.
Here's what I'm having a hard time with. It feels to me like they are trying to separate Chad Brinker from Rand Carthon. I can't do that. To me, you know, to use an analogy, if Rand Carthon was the president of the United States, Chad Brinker was the vice president. They campaigned together. They sang Kumbaya together. Chad Brinker was in the Oval Office every day. He was a part of every decision that was made. And now he's telling us that his administration is going to right the wrongs of the previous administration. That's not how this works, right? Am I the only idiot out here who says, no, you don't get to pretend like you weren't here the last 2 years. You don't get to pretend like you didn't co-sign everything. Every time something came up, you did a press conference or did a podcast interview about how great it was. And yet I feel like the Titans are trying to say, no, no, no. This is the Chad era starting today. And it drives me crazy.
No, I mean, you know, Kaharsky and I got into this today because, you know, now he's saying, oh, it was very clear that Rand, you know, had final set. I'm like, nothing was clear. What was clear was that they promoted Brinker over Rand. I don't consider any of the bad moves they made any less on Brinker than they are on Rand. I look at it equal. I have a hard time buying it. This is what I ask her. Like, do you really think that at any point this year, any of these moves, that it was Rand putting his foot on, nope, sorry, guys, this is what we're doing, because he, quote-unquote, had final say? And that's, I find that to be hilarious. I just, there's no way you can divorce him from all that has gone on. And if you can't, and if you fired Rand, then how are you, how does this guy now sit here with all this power as he tries to bring in assistant to the regional manager to try to tell everybody it's a real GM?
Caroline,
that's my issue. Well, that's my issue with the quote-unquote collaboration. That's been my issue with it from the beginning, is that there is no clarity in job description, that we do not know who does what. We don't know. Chad Brinker's job is supposed to be the turf and the grass, and now he's out here making final personnel decisions? So I don't understand that. And if firing Rand is ownership's way of saying, we did not do a good enough job this year, which I do not disagree with in the slightest. In fact, I very much so agree with the decision to part ways with Rand Carthon. Well, then why isn't Chad Brinker being held to the same standard if they had the same responsibilities, if not Chad Brinker had more responsibilities? So it's just sending a very confusing message. If you want to hold on to Brian Callahan, fine. I don't agree with it, but fine. Hold on to him. But if you're going to hold on to Chad Brinker and then let Rand Carthon go, it's a very confusing message of, we weren't good enough with both of these guys, but we think that we're going to be good enough with one of them moving forward.
Can I make an argument? I don't think it's a confusing message at all. I think it's a very obvious message, which is, in this organization, if you want to get to the top, you stab whoever's back it takes in order to get there, and all you have to do is convince the dopey out-of-state owner that you know what's right.
Well, maybe it's a confusing message, but it's an incorrect message. It's the wrong message. And it's the message that we are running our organization in a horrific way, in an unsustainable way. That's not how you do business. Which kind of brings me to my second question that Jared, you bring up.
Let me throw one quick one here, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just real fast. You know, I hear that is true, I think, this time, Jared, but I don't think that Rand stabbed Vrabel behind the back, and I don't think that Vrabel stabbed John Robinson behind the back. I don't think that's been the case every one of these. I think it's been Amy's bad decision-making that's really the primary theme here.
By the way, my sources tell me yesterday Mike Vrabel was trying to figure out if Chad Brinker stabbed him in the back last year. After
Do we have any reason to believe that he didn't?
Supposed to be interviewing with the Bears.
Yeah, well, I guess he was doing both. Caroline, what's next?
Well, my question was going to be, did Chad Brinker stab Rand Carthon in the back? And I guess we can add, did Chad Brinker stab Mike Vrabel in the back last year, Joe?
I mean, I have no idea. I really I don't think that, like, Brinker was some big, you know, player in that whole thing. Although Brinker did get that big promotion.
But why would we believe anything different?
What's that?
Why would we believe anything different when Chad Brinker has been the beneficiary of all of these firings?
Yeah, you don't think he was lusting for power last year, Joe?
Sure. No, I know. But, I mean, I also know that, like, Vrabel and Amy had their own thing that got bad that I don't think anybody else needed to be involved, right? Like, I think that thing got bad all just between those two. So is it possible he or someone else was undermining Vrabel or whispering? You know, yeah, maybe. But I don't think that would have made the difference. I think the difference was made with their own bad communication. And, again, with Vrabel's analysis of Carthon coming in, that bothered Amy and ended up being a factor, a big factor, right? So, of course, think about that too, by the way. You know, that's how strongly she felt about that a year ago, firing Vrabel, and now she just fired Rand. Did Brinker throw – I mean, look, I can't sit here and say I know that for sure, but if you force me to, you know, like bet my house on it one way or the other, I'll say yes. I'll put my house on yes.
So I find Chad Brinker to be one of the most inherently dishonest people that I have come across doing this in 13 years of being on the radio. And I've been, you know, I've covered different teams, different markets. For crying out loud, I covered Rick Pitino. So, and it doesn't get more dishonest than Rick Pitino. And I find Chad Brinker, as far as all of the dudes in the egocentric sports world with where my guy syndrome is just prevalent. My guy, my coach, my team, my scheme, my program, my recruits, my whatever. And I find Chad Brinker to be right up there at the very top. And here's what I can't get over. Again, maybe I'll never make it to the very top because I'll never be this dishonest. But I cannot get over the podcast interview that Chad Brinker did last year with Mike Keith and Dave McGinnis and Ramon Foster and Rhett Bryan at the Senior Bowl, in which he sang Rand Carthon's praises and he sang Anthony Robinson's praises. And he said, oh, if you guys could just see what we saw in Brian Callahan when we hired him, to only see him stab Rand in the back, fire Anthony Robinson, and try to fire, according to what I've heard, Brian Callahan. I mean, I could never be that dishonest. Either Chad was lying about everything last year, or he's done a 180, and all the things he thought, he's having an epiphany, and he realizes they're not true, and I have a hard time believing that. And I do not believe, this is just me, maybe I'm wrong, but I do not believe that you can build an NFL team when the people at the very top lack integrity at the level that it feels like the two guys at the top of the Titans lack integrity. And I believe that he stabbed him in the back, and I believe that Chad Brinker is, again, just like Rand Carthon was a symptom, not a cause, I think Brinker's a symptom, not a cause. Amy's stupidity is the cause, but this is very telling that she would let somebody trick her all the way to the top who has accomplished nothing in the NFL and yet is now the chief decision maker of the Tennessee Titans. And he was here this year. It is sad. It is sad that, again, the treachery of this organization is where it is today.
When you listen to those comments and then you just read, because, it was mostly, going to print. Obviously there was the Titans online site with Jimmy Wyatt and then, the Tennessean and Kaharski and TD. And you read, just the absolute campaign he put on yesterday, including some pretty thinly veiled shots at Rand. It's gross. I mean, it really is. It's icky.
Well, and I'm going to say this. I think the reason why look, maybe I'm smelling my own farts here. I don't know. But the reason why I think he went to the print media and he didn't do a sit-down podcast, normally they roll you out with Mike Keith right away. And the reason why I don't think Amy did one of those and he didn't do anything like that is because they didn't want us playing it on this station for the next 10 months the way we've played the last ones for the last 10 months. Because to me, it's hard for him to explain away just the ball washing he did for Rand Carthon and for Brian Callahan and for Anthony Robinson and the collaboration and the process and everything else. It's to me, you can't hear that and then think that, you know what, this guy is the right guy to lead the new wave of the Tennessee Titans. That's just me, though. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they didn't,
I would agree.
Maybe they, again, when you have the audio, it's way, way, way more easy to hold it against somebody. And also, I love the fact now that Chad Brinker, who's been here for 2 years, is calling for patience. We got to be patient. We got to be patient, fans. Whoa. Again, this comes from a guy who said, be patient and win immediately. More Jared versus Joe continues next here on the program. First, though, we all congratulate Caroline on her engagement, and we tell you about our wonderful new sponsor. Jared versus Joe is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville and First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all.
Big discussions.
What's the deal with this quad?
Bigger arguments.
I was right. I had my finger on the pulse of this team.
It's so dumb.
It's time.
Oh, it was the cap. Cap, cap, cap.
For Jared versus Joe.
For you, this is actually kind of well-reasoned.
Brought to you by First Horizon Bank. Big bank muscle. Small bank hustle.
We make the rules around here now.
Now on Stillman & Company.
Let's get it on!
Jared versus Joe, presented by First Horizon Bank and by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville, Caroline. Go.
Okay, Jared, you go first. Josina Anderson tweeted out that some league sources were wondering and asking what's the point of having rules or policies that oversee these roles, meaning general manager roles, if there's at least an appearance or impression of said rules being potentially skirted, meaning the Titans could potentially be in trouble for breaking and or skirting around the Rooney rule. So, Jared, my question for you is, should the Titans be in trouble with the Rooney rule following Rand Carthon's firing?
100%. And I think they're going to be. I think that there is. The Titans are going to try to argue that Chad Brinker's the president of football operations, not the general manager, and that they will interview two external minority candidates for the Rooney rule in order to satisfy that for the general manager whom they will end up hiring. And so what's the big deal? But anybody with a brain knows that Chad Brinker is the real general manager of the Titans, and you're not allowed to promote within without interviewing two external minority candidates. And because the Titans are, how do I say this, not a franchise that the owner wields any power in the league or that anybody, you know, wants to protect, I could see the Titans being made an example of this. You know, a hefty fine for the owner and maybe a small draft pick like a fourth rounder or something. But when you're this bad, those kind of picks matter. So it would not surprise me if the Titans end up forfeiting a day three draft choice and getting fined on this and being made an example of, because they absolutely broke the spirit of the Rooney rule. And I would like to see the NFL, just for my own sanity, I would like to see the NFL come out and say that the final decision maker in the organization has to be called the general manager. That at the end of the day, you cannot do what these other sports do, where you add in all these extra people, the general manager, just so there's no confusion. And if you want to be the owner who makes the final decision, Jerry Jones, you be the general manager. But that is the way that head coach is kind of a league accepted, you know, standard term. Same here with general manager. I'd like to see that happen. But yeah, I think the Titans should be in trouble, and I think the Titans will get in trouble.
Well, what about franchises where the head coach has final say?
Then you have to be head coach / general manager.
Okay. Yeah, look, I mean, you may be right. What will be interesting here is, is the argument actually Chad Brinker already did have final say? I mean, I'm very interested in this whole, how it really went in the last year. Does some of that come to light through this? And of course, if that's the case, then I guess they broke the rule previously. I mean, somewhere along the way, they would have broken the rule, I suppose, right?
Yeah, I mean, so Rand said to Jim Wyatt that contractually he had final say of the roster, and Amy said that he had final say of the roster. So I'll believe that Rand Carthon had final say of the roster. And again, you know, if we want to be like Kaharsky this morning and keep talking about final say, final say, final say, final say, I will say this. I hold Rand Carthon more culpable than I hold Chad Brinker for this past season. But that doesn't mean that Chad Brinker gets a pass, and that's what the Titans are demanding of all of us to do, is to give Chad Brinker a pass, and I'm not signing up for that.
Yeah, like I mean, look, I have no idea if this is going to actually come to anything, but it is deceit. I mean, it's deceit on multiple fronts, but in that way, too. And obviously, if you mess around with that, and I think your point is accurate on the Titans are not, you know, they're not one of they're a team that other owners are okay, an example being made of, as opposed to some franchises.
Caroline?
What's next?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Jackson Reese Stillman is in his not just infancy of life, but infancy of choosing his football teams. Should Jackson Reese Stillman choose another football team to root for other than the Titans? Joe Rexroad, you go first.
Well, I think he should, you know, I think that he should have his choice. But I do think that there's something great about generational fandom. You know, it's funny that we're having this discussion because today we were talking about how January 22nd, 2022, less than 3 years ago, the Tennessee Titans were the number one seed. And in that 2021 season, my second child, who in that year was in ninth grade, I got season tickets for his Christmas gift the year before for the Tennessee Titans. I knew they were going to have a great team. And part of that was because I have been trying his entire life to talk him out of being a Detroit Lions fan. And I said, you got a good franchise here. They are stable. They're competent. They win football games. They're not embarrassing. Become a Tennessee Titans fan. And 3 years later, I just have no argument whatsoever. But I think that does go to show you that as bad as things look right now, this league is cyclical. The Titans will cycle up. Young Jackson will have some wonderful times if he chooses to be a Titans fan. So I'll say yes.
So I put together, I was wondering yesterday if Amy Adams Strunk was the worst owner in the NFL. And it's crazy because Joe brought up 3 years ago, and I was thinking about the exact same. 3 years ago today, in January of 2022, Titans are the one seed. Caroline and I are working together. Like, it was a different time. But I would have put Amy Adams Strunk either in the tier one owners or at least tier two. You know, tier one to me is elite ownership, does not meddle, is accountable, and supports the team financially. Green Bay, Steve Bisciotti, the Rooneys, Gail Benson, Terry Pegula, Sheila Ford Hamp, and the Glazers in Tampa. Like, they are.
I don't know if I'd put Gail Benson in elite category.
Does she meddle?
She doesn't meddle.
Is she accountable?
She's accountable.
And does she support the team financially?
She does support the team financially.
It's not the owner's fault that the general manager signed Derek Carr. That is not her fault.
It's her fault that the general manager is still the general manager.
Again,
it falls on ownership.
She pays, and that's
she's
the most
a good owner,
part.
But she's not an elite owner.
The tier two owners to me are the good owners, you know. But there's one of those three things they don't do. Like Robert Kraft doesn't pay, Clark Hunt doesn't pay, Jeffrey Lurie meddles, Stan Kroenke's not accountable, you know, those kind of things. Then there's the cheap owners. Mike Brown of the Bengals, the Spanos family with the Chargers, the McCaskies with the Bears. Tier four, hurt the team owners. Arthur Blank, Jim Irsay, Shad Khan, Cal McNair, Michael Bidwell of the Cardinals, Stephen Rawls of the Dolphins, Jerry Jones, John Mara. And then five, chaotic owners. I put Amy in five. Mark Davis, Woody Johnson, Jimmy Haslam, David Tepper, and Amy. In the worst owner category.
Jimmy Haslam might be in a category of his own.
He was the last place owner that we had.
He deserves
when doing
to be.
This. But I don't. Jack's dad and grandpa have been through way too much over the years. I don't know if I want to put him through this with a tier five owner. Who, again, 2 years ago probably was probably a tier two owner. 2 years ago.
But three again, years ago. Jared, 3 years ago. The Detroit Lions, the Ford family, belonged in whatever your lowest tier was. They really did. For decades. They really did. So, you know, they found someone in the family who has figured it out. But, you know, things can change.
I just feel like if my son's going to listen to my show, he's going to ask his mom, why are we rooting for the Titans? They suck. He's going to be listening to the show every day, be like, oh, we're run by a bunch of backstabbers. And con artists, what are we doing? Caroline,
I did just ask my dad.
They're going to have eight different. By the time he cares, there will be like seven or eight GMs from now to then.
Caroline asked yesterday how many GMs until he reaches kindergarten.
You Caroline, who wins this week? you go to kindergarten when you're six. I would set the over-under at 4.5 and maybe take the over.
There's something to that. Who wins this week?
Jared, you win this week because you have been calling for Rand Carthon's firing for years, since I was at the station, for I think multiple years now. So you win.
Yeah.
Jared calls for everybody's firing all the time. So when someone gets fired, he always wins.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joey Stackhouse. How's Vanderbilt looking now?
I mean, they got smoked last night.
He's never called for Barry to be fired.
Joey Stackhouse. Yeah, oh, no, he's a good coach. I promise. Yeah.
Yes,
but
that's exactly
I take no solace.
That's exactly what I said.
Because firing Rand Carthon and keeping Brinkers just probably honestly makes it even worse. Guys, thank you so much for Jared
Appreciate that.
Everybody, congratulations, Caroline Fenton, once again.
Thank you.
On getting engaged.
Thank you.
And congratulations to Joe Rexroad for going through 3 hours this morning with Paul Kaharsky carrying water for Chad Brinker and not killing him. Way to go, Joe Rexroad. Very proud there, as always. We will see Joe tomorrow morning. Stillman and Company will be back tomorrow at 2. Preds Insiders coming up next.